Do you like Current Geek? Oh, man, we sure do. Here's what you can do to support it. Go to patreon.com/currentgeek and do it today. That's patreon.com/currentgeek.
I have
Current Geek!
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the weekly proceedings of the Meetings of the Frogpants All-Stars, Geeks of the World, and you, to keep you current on all things that matter most. I'm Scott Johnson with Tom Merritt.
I'm ready for my handout, Mr. DeMille.
If only some of you had been here pre-show to know what the heck that means, but it's fine.
It's going to be all right, everybody. Watch Sunset Boulevard and then just imagine us getting quotes wrong and you pretty much have it.
There you go. Hey, it's good to be back. It's Tuesday. It's the March 27th of the year 2018.
Year of our Lord, 2018.
That's right. We're here doing it. We're making it happen and we have a live chat room, so that's trouble. But don't worry, we'll get through it. We're here to bring you some geeky stories, some fun conversation. And at the end of it all, we will warn you about what our next movie is going to be, because as you know, the new schedule is normal show, autopilot, normal show, top 100 movies of all time.
And Film Fest, Current Geek Film Fest.
There
I like
you
to
go.
Call it.
Film Fest. That's better. It has an actual title. Mm-hmm. So we'll get to all that here in a minute. But before we do anything else, these headlines.
Herbert Hoover, Secretary of Commerce in 1922, finds infant radio facilitates news gathering. As do many others in high public office.
You'd probably remind me that these aren't really headlines, but, you know, stuff that happened that was significant over the last week or so.
You know, I've never mentioned it before, ever.
Didn't you say last time you said these
aren't
really?
I've never said what I'm about to say. I've never said before. But when we first made this rundown, those many years ago in 2014, I called this segment Top Talk. Oh. And it's still called that to this day in the rundown. But you have never called it that.
No.
Ever.
I you know what? Until you said it, I don't think I've looked at the header until you just said it. There it
and
is.
And I was like, oh, that's fine. You can call it the headlines. That's okay. Like, it never bothered me enough to bring it up.
Yeah. And there it is. Literally the words Top Talk in black bold letters on top of a green highlighted cell. You'd think that'd be enough for me after 163 episodes that I'd see it. Nope. First time for everything. Well,
I don't know. So we can think about calling it that or not. I'm fine either way. I just thought it was funny.
Yeah.
I wanted to start this week by asking you, have you heard about this thing with Cambridge Analytica?
A little bit. Feels like
it's just kind of been under the radar. I didn't know if it had bubbled up for you.
Small story, you know, way in the back of the paper. It's been hard to notice, but sure, I've heard of it here and there.
I saw it on Facebook. No, obviously everybody has heard about the outrage over Facebook stealing your data and giving it to President Trump directly, hand delivered by mice. I mean, that's about as accurate as most of the things I've seen about this. I want to give props to the people who are reporting it accurately, and there are many. Nate Langson, for instance, and Bloomberg among them. But I thought we'd take just a brief moment. We're not going to dwell on this. To just give a couple of facts that you need to keep in mind. You can have whatever opinion about this you want. We're not trying to tell you what to think. But keep in mind a couple of things. First of all, no laws were broken. The only thing that might even be untoward is the FTC is looking at whether Facebook somehow violated their own consent decree where they agreed to let people know if their information was being shared. They may not have broken that. The only thing we know that happened that was wrong was done by Cambridge Analytica's parent company and Professor Kogan at Cambridge, who claims he didn't realize he was breaking the rules. The terms of service at Facebook at the time said, if you agree to share your information with apps, the information of some of your friends may be shared. That was just the way. Now, granted, was that okay? No, they changed it since then. Did people read terms? No. We could have all kinds of conversations, but it's not illegal. Facebook didn't not tell people. This was all okay for your information to be given to Professor Kogan. Professor Kogan wasn't supposed to give it to anyone else. That's the thing that happened that was wrong.
Yeah.
The professor should not have shared the data collected in this app with Cambridge Analytica. Yes. And have all kinds of arguments about whether he did it on purpose, whether he knew, whether he's lying, whether Cambridge Analytica knew. Those are conversations you can have. But there's nothing illegal There's a violation of Facebook's terms of service. So Facebook gets to say, we told them not to do that, and they did it anyway. Now, you can also have arguments about whether they responded correctly when they said, hey, did you guys delete that? You did? Great. And not following up. Again, totally fine. But have it on the premise of what was done wrong was done not done wrong by Facebook. What was done wrong by Professor Kogan when he allowed the data that he collected for his app to be given to a third party, specifically in violation of the Facebook terms of service. All right. That's one thing.
Okay.
The other thing I want to make sure people know is when we say information, we're not talking about your credit card numbers, your passwords. This is not a data breach. I see a lot of people calling data breach. This is not where someone hacked into a database and cracked some encryption. This was information like your likes, your dislikes. With the friends, it was generally even less information, name, email address, maybe some things about groups was involved in there. Again, have a great conversation about whether we want that information to be out there, whether Facebook is being responsible with that information. But let's talk about the right information. This is not sensitive information. This is demographic information, and it's no different than the information you gave to Facebook that they share with their advertisers in targeting you anonymously. It just happens to have been linked to your name in this case, and you said it was okay if you did this for it to go to this personality app. And that leads back to what was wrong, is it wasn't okay for them to give it to somebody else.
Okay, now, a couple quick clarifications, not clarifications, a couple of quick insertions of information from me. One, you might hear this, if you don't know Tom very well, you might go, oh no, why is Tom being such an apologist for Facebook? I don't think he's being that, but it may sound to you like that. I've never known anybody who I work with, a colleague, I co-host things with, who is more ambivalent about whether Facebook is a thing they like or not. Like, it's not like you come to me each week and go, Scott, man, I sure love this Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
What an amazing service. I know you don't. You actively don't like it.
I feel confident in my position because I have never given Facebook any information that I didn't expect to just leak out everywhere.
Right. That's an important point I wanted to put out there. And the second thing I wanted to say was, what we are seeing is, you kind of alluded to it by saying we could have a conversation about this.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and yeah. That's what we're seeing. We're seeing people wake up and go, oh, this is a thing I've been doing. I've been agreeing to this. You're all complicit in the data that's
and
out
also,
there.
The sharing of your friends' information, which a lot of people are like, that's not okay. Why was that ever okay? Is not okay anymore. Facebook got in trouble for that and stopped doing it in 2015. This app was created before that. There's also a lot of conversations to be had about how useful was this data? What did they do with it? It's pretty clear that they actually didn't use this data in the 2016 election, that they may have used models they created using this data to inform what they did in the 2016 election. A lot of debate about how good these people actually are at what they say they do. There's a lot of scary claims being made about we can manipulate you and make you believe things. and I don't know if they can. The same people who will look at an AI story that's legitimate out of MIT and go, what a bunch of buzzword crap, are also willing to believe that somehow Cambridge Analytica has magical powers. So I'm just like, yeah, keep the same skepticism in mind about what they're capable of. And let's focus on the fact that this sleazy company took data that they pretty much knew they shouldn't have taken. And whether Professor Kogan was hoodwinked or not, he shared it and he shouldn't have.
Yeah. And there's that, you know, that video of Cambridge basically selling people on what they do. And that's
oh,
pretty
yeah,
damning.
They're awful.
Yeah.
That's not even up for debate.
Yeah, they're horrendous. Horrendous. And so all of this stuff comes together to create what people like. And that is a big old freak out. People like a big freak out. At the end of it all,
I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Freak out for the right reasons.
Sure, sure.
That's all I'm saying.
I like this. I like to come to the foot of Tom's feet and have him calm us all down a little bit because it is
my feet.
It's easy to freak out. I mean, I did a comic yesterday with a big thumbs up Facebook symbol with a guy throwing data out the back of it, which isn't exactly.
It was funny.
It's funny, but it isn't exactly helping this narrative.
I also don't expect your comics to be like literal accurate descriptions of issues. Like, I go to your comics to laugh. It was funny.
Right. Yeah. So bottom line, calm down and listen to Tom. Yeah.
I would say, if you want a really good explanation of what didn't happen, go to podfeet.com. Allison Sheridan's podcast. She got Bart Bouchatz to come on and kind of go through this piece by piece. And Allison is great at always being like, well, hold on now. Explain to me, how does that work? And Bart did a great job explaining it. So you might want to check that out.
It does feel like the world just finally read a EULA. Doesn't that feel like that? It feels like a EULA finally went, oh, I didn't read this when I first said okay.
Hold on. Yeah. The internet tracks me? There are cookies? Wait a minute. All right. Lego Japan did a study of 100 graduates from 6 of Japan's top universities. 60% played with Lego sets as kids, and 92% of those graduates chose to build their own designs without instructions. This is a great example of correlation. Does not mean causation. The graduates were asked about what effect the Legos may have had on their brain's development. They all said they thought it improved their spatial organization, their creativity, their concentration. That's an example of self-reporting bias. This doesn't prove anything except Lego Japan, really good at the marketing. But it is interesting, and actually, because there is an actual correlation, I'd like to see somebody do a rigorous study and try to tease out some causation here. Maybe Lego sets does this. Who knows?
I would love to see that, because I'd like to know if that helped me as a young kid growing up learning spatial stuff and how to, you know, make things go together. I do have this weird natural sense of when something's going to weigh too much for a thing, like this isn't going to be strong enough to for this kind of weight distribution. And I seem to have it intuitively, like it's weird, and I don't know where I got it. I'd love to be able to say, oh, that's because my Erector set was always out every weekend and I played it to death.
That's
and
Meccano for the Brits.
Oh, that's right. They have their own little weird thing, didn't they? But like you often do in Britain. But the point is, like, more of a scientific study and less of a little bit of a fluff piece would be nice. But I do like the idea that maybe these things are, you know, at least on the surface, they're making us smarter because we're playing, but we're also exercising parts of our brain that have to do with stuff like space and width and height and weight. And
it makes sense. The question is, because this is correlation, right? I'm not poo-pooing that the study doesn't show correlation. It absolutely does. Problem with correlation is it doesn't mean that the Lego sets made the kids smarter. It could be that smart kids like to play with Lego sets. You know, it may run the other way. Like, oh, well, of course, smart kids play with Lego because they're smart. And people who aren't smart just don't like Lego and get bored with it. So it may not be causation, but it'd be interesting to find out.
Sure. And if you played with Mega Blocks, you're in prison already, probably.
If you played with Lincoln Logs, you get to become a congressman.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. No, it's been shown correlation study that I did just now in my head.
Here we see a young Ted Cruz building his first.
Did you ever play with Lincoln Logs?
I did. I thought they seemed pretty cool. They were basically, they're kind of like simplified Legos in a lot of ways. Like, I feel like I don't think they predated Lego, but when I was very young, that seemed to be the toy du jour at Christmas. We would all get Lincoln Logs and you made what amounted to a bunch of cabins. Like, that's all you could really make out of them. But we got creative, and I would combine things like tracks and stuff from my Hot Wheels set, and I would put all those together, and I would kind of have these weird combined toys, and I'd made do with what I had. But yeah, sure, Lincoln Logs, why not? Today, I think you can still get those, but they are 100% plastic and resin these days and no longer actually made of wood.
Oh, man, mine were made of wood.
You had wood ones?
I also had a thing of colored blocks that was my sister's.
Yeah.
You know, just building blocks. And a thing of blonde blocks that, in other words, they weren't painted. They were just wood colored. That were my mom's.
Oh my gosh. What? Stop. Yeah. My dad did. Oh,
a lot of hand-me-downs.
This is great.
I think the Lincoln Logs might've been my mom's too.
My dad, one Christmas, I couldn't tell if he did it because he was cheap or he did it because it was a cool idea, but he made me my own complete set of bricks. Like,
oh yeah.
And he did this with 2x4s and he cut them all down to size and he sanded them. For the most part, and finished them so they were nice, self-contained, non-splintery hunks of wood, and we would build all sorts of things. But somehow, 3 or 4 blocks got in there that weren't sanded, that weren't treated with stuff after, and so they were just kids with huge slivers for the rest of the year. I mean, it was no way around it, but we still loved it. It was great.
Should have read the terms of service. Some blocks may contain splinters.
Some of those EULAs are so long. My dad sent me, I put a stack of paper in front of me. I just said, I just signed it.
Okay. Okay. It's fine. Got tipped off to a book called The Event Horizon for 2018. It's a free ebook with 50 stories. Usually comes out around Hugo nominations time. Hugo nominations will be announced this Saturday. Those are the Worldwide Science Fiction Awards. So a lot of times the nominees are in this anthology. So good stories. You can get a free ebook, like I said, or you can get a print version for $15. Both editions available on Amazon through July 15th.
Is it bad that I mostly can't think of anything but that movie with Lawrence Fishburne?
I mean,
that's all I think of when they say Event Horizon.
Well, Event Horizon means the place around singularity where the event begins, right?
Right.
Yeah. That is one meaning of it.
Sure.
Predating the movie.
Oh, certainly. Yeah.
Then the movie comes and Event Horizon means this really bad movie. I don't know. Was it that bad?
I liked it. It was space madness. It was a horror movie.
It was
in
space.
Yeah. Which I
liked. I actually kind of liked it.
Yeah. I'm a fan of the genre.
Now these folks are trying to reclaim it and say it means good science again, or at least science fiction.
Well, all right. I'm going to let this one go, but it's hard. Like one day, let's say next year, right? Prior to the Hugo Awards, they're like, you know what? Let's get together. Let's do another one. It's going to be all about time travel. And we're going to call this compilation Back to the Future.
Well, it's always called Event Horizon. It's not themed.
Oh, is
they're
it always called
fiction.
That? Oh.
They're all just science fiction. They're not all about Event Horizon.
Well, no, I figured that.
50 stories, 59 stories all about Event Horizon?
Well, sure. But no, I don't mean that. But I mean, like, you know, it could all be. Oh, so you're. So, like, my themed time travel thing doesn't work. I see what you're saying. Because it's not themed at all.
Yeah, all right. No, this one's. I just want to be clear. These are authors eligible for the John W. Campbell Award, which is the best new writer. It's actually not part of the Hugos, but it's always given out at the same time.
Mm. Yeah, well, it's like anything. If you were influenced by the 90s hit, the 90s Paul Anderson, not Paul W. Anderson, regular old Paul Anderson, sci-fi epic Event Horizon, then you know how this feels.
By the way, the 76th World Science Fiction Convention, where at the Hugos are awarded, and the John Campbell Award, will be in San Jose, California, August 16th through the 20th. So there's really no excuse for Veronica and I not to be there.
I was going to ask, are Sword and Laser going to attend? That seems
good. We might have to. Yeah. We just might have to. Yep. I hope it's not too late.
Plus you'll have, well, I don't know. Yeah, I wonder what the demand is for that sort of thing. But you'll have plenty of like authors you guys have interviewed and stuff will all be
there. Oh, yeah, yeah. No, we've gone to the Nebula Awards and done the same thing.
That's super cool. Yeah, you guys should
anyway.
Go. All right. That's my vote. You guys go to the Nebulas or the Hugos, and I'll go to Vegas next month.
Now at WonderCon, which was here in Los Angeles, down in Anaheim, which I did not go to, Discovery's showrunners showed a deleted scene from Star Trek Discovery featuring agents of the Federation's Section 31. Mm. Now, Scott, I'm specifically not going to say more details, because it is a spoiler for people who haven't watched Star Trek Discovery.
Yeah.
Okay?
No, that's fine. No spoilers. Okay. No spoilers here.
So don't try to clarify what I'm about to say.
I won't.
Because that would then make it a spoiler.
You're going to be like butter that isn't a... I'm not going to clarify you at all.
Okay, good. Section 31 was a secret amoral agency, kind of secret within the Federation. It was first featured in Deep Space Nine. It was also featured in Enterprise, and was even worked into the plot of Into Darkness, the alternate Star Trek universe movie from the J.J. Abrams crew.
Mm, okay.
So, bearing in mind that we don't want to say too much more about Section 31, except it's kind of the black ops of the Federation, this scene, kind of cool.
It's super cool.
Yeah, and what's cool about it is not how it works into the plot of season one of Star Trek Discovery.
Right.
It's cool because they're using it as an example of, look, we know we didn't put this in the show, but we want to be sure you know this is the prime universe. Same universe as Deep Space Nine and Enterprise, we promise.
Mm-hmm. But also, it hints at a subplot that we didn't get any of in season one that I could have gone for some of this. Just the idea of like a black ops, secretive thing going on in the Federation, especially during wartime, when they're warring directly with the Klingons. That's pretty fascinating. It's the reason I want Star Wars TV and movies that aren't just about shiny, happy Jedis. I'd like a little, what's going on the street? What are the bounty hunters up to? Why, why is the city of Coruscant seem nice on the surface, but really deep down there's some seedy Jabba the Hutt business going on. Like, that's interesting to me. So I was both excited to see this as a fan of Discovery last season and also a little sad that it wasn't included. Do you think, this is a pure speculation, but do you think this hints at anything for season two?
Yeah, I do. I feel like they wouldn't have put this out there just to be like, hey, we would have done this, but we had to cut it for time. I feel like this is them doing a little bit of a hint. Season two may take a while to come. Remember how long season one of Star Trek Discovery took? Yeah. I have a feeling that all those kinks haven't been worked out. So this may be their way of kind of whetting our appetites. And I would not be surprised to see Section 31 figure into the plot of season two.
Sure. They did say in a separate whole thing, which I don't have handy at the moment, but they said something to the effect that season two is planned to be more exploratory and more traditional tone and less warlike than season one, which is fine. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. It's much more sort of Star Trek trajectory. The other thing that impresses me is that WonderCon is more often these days being used as a place to show rad stuff like this.
Yeah.
Of exclusives, and that's not always been true in the past. So I guess well done, WonderCon.
Absolutely. Yeah, I could totally see a season where Section 31 has given someone a secret mission that they have to keep secret from the rest of their crew while everybody else thinks they're on just a normal exploratory mission, that kind of thing.
Did you say on the show how you felt about, I'm not going to say what it is, but the final scene of Discovery this last season, how you felt about that little...
Oh, yeah, moment. I liked it.
I did, too.
I liked it, yeah.
I did, too. I feel like we're weirdly... We're either in a minority or the people who really don't like it are super vocal or something.
I think it may be a little both. It may be 50-50 on people who liked it, but certainly the people who didn't like it are loud.
Yeah.
I thought it was fine. I liked it. Yeah. I watch Star Trek to see connections and lore, and I know not everybody does. There's lots of reasons to like it.
Sure.
So I like that.
Yeah, I do too. Especially if you're going to give me a prequel of sorts, like a series that's set behind other series. I need some, that's what I need. I need a bunch of little things to tie stuff together that I'm like, oh, I know that because that's a thing they used to do or they did in TNG.
Yeah.
And if you're going to give me a show that's way in the future, you're still going to give me some of those because it's Star Trek. You're going to have some kind of, you know, alternate universe episode and all that other stuff. But that
the first scene of Next Generation is Bones walking onto the Enterprise D. Come on.
Yeah, he's like 1,000 years old. I forgot about that. That's true. They never explained why he was so old though. How did he?
Because it was a long time later. He was fairly old on the original series.
Yeah, but wouldn't it have made him like 100 and something years old? Like
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. All right. I don't know if anybody needs Bones for that long.
Well, he's not around anymore, sadly.
No.
All right. According to Deadline, Entertainment One, who produced the web series Street Fighter Assassin's Fist, are making a live-action Street Fighter television series. Street Fighter executive producer Yoshinori Ono said, "We are delighted to be partnering with a company with the outstanding TV experience of Mark Gordon and E1. The new show is based on the plot of the Street Fighter 2 game as Ryu, Ken, Guile, and Chun-Li chase down M. Bison and become involved in the World Warrior Fighting Tournament."
All right. Don't send us emails. We know that guy's name is Guile, but it's fine.
Guile.
All right. Here's the deal. There's no real plot to Street Fighter 2. And I'm not saying this can't be good and fun. There's certainly some anime out there that many regard to be quality product about the Street Fighter franchise and the characters that inhabit those games. But Street Fighter 2, or 1, or honestly, all the Street Fighters, have no story. It's the most basic of things. It's fight a dude to get to fight another dude until you fight the ultimate dude. Like, it's kind of... You really have to grow it out of whole cloth, so... Them saying things like, you know, based on the plot of two, the beloved second in the series of games, is a little silly because there's no plot.
I'm not disputing that there is a plot per se. There's a sort of a backstory. You don't need one, but there is, yeah. There is chasing down M. Bison, right? So fine. Whatever you need to hook it on. What usually is the problem with these things is that they can't figure out a story to tell about a game like this. So I'm very curious how they solve that problem this time.
I'll bet it's better than that movie in 1994, though. So I'll give it that. Sadly, Raul Julia's last film appearance as M. Bison himself in the 1994 Street Fighter movie, which was so freaking bad. that I can still taste the stain on my tongue. But how?
Maybe every week's episode will end with a victory fight, and they'll see the next challenge and have to chase it down.
Oh my gosh. And they can say something at the beginning like, "I will take you down," and the other guy will say, "With my fists you will fall," and then they'll fight. That'll be great.
Yeah, for 30 minutes.
It's not such a bad idea.
And you'll be like, "Just finish this."
I hope it's good. I honestly, there's room here for some fun stuff like this. So let's go. Let's get our Street Fighter on, everybody.
By the way, I believe this was the most popular of our subreddit submissions.
Oh, you're kidding. Really?
People are very, very excited about Street Fighter, the TV series, it seems.
It's interesting because some would complain that they're not excited enough about the existing game series. Five kind of landed broken and has all kinds of problems, and now there's this compilation.
Well, that may be why you say, it's based on Street Fighter 2. We know you all hated our original one. But you love that one.
I mean, it's still the standard for the competitive fighting arena. Like, if people are playing competitive fighting games, esports and so on, that's the game they're playing. But the game as a sort of a retail or, I don't know, gamer success is dubious at best. So maybe if TV show is what they need to reignite it, I don't know.
I just love playing as Guile.
Yeah, Guile. Old Guile.
Old Guile. All right. Finally, y'all voted this one up on the Reddit, so I'm going to say it. I'm funding a follow-up to my book, Pilot X on Inkshares. It's called Trigor, T-R-I-G-O-R, picks up shortly after the end of Pilot X's subjective timeline in the first book, Pilot X. Also involves a search for pie and coffee.
The last part caught me off guard, and I choked on my water.
Too bad you didn't have coffee.
Yeah.
Or pie.
Okay, so, all right. We're in this mood now. We're going to do it, and I'm going to do another quick pimp, and this isn't too big of a deal, and it's actually not up yet, so there's not a lot you can do except get excited about it. Do you like playing cards? Do you like poker cards, Tom? Is that a thing you like once in a while, a little poker face cards?
Yeah, who doesn't, right?
Sure, you can play all
you're
kinds of games.
You're 10 forward with nothing to do, and guidance off duty.
Doesn't have to just be poker. You could play a little slapjack if you wanted, whatever it is you want to play. Well, ever since I was 8 years old, I wanted to make my own custom deck of playing cards, with my own artwork for the kings, queens, jacks, jokers, all that stuff, backs of the cards and more. And I'm doing it. Finally, I'm doing it. We're going to launch Kickstarter next week. That will be feature this opportunity for me, but also an opportunity for people to get these cards. It will be super high quality and nice stuff. There'll be unlockables that involve possibly poker chips, alternate decks, maybe even decks where frog pants personalities like Tom Merritt and others would appear as a jack, a joker, a king, or Tom, you might be a queen. I don't know. I don't know what you're going to be, but, and there'll be two of you, you know, you'll be like this and then upside down.
Queen of spades.
Who knows? In spades. There'll be Tom in spades. So if you want to see how that's going to go, just keep your eye on my Twitter account at Scott Johnson or the frogpants.com site. Because soon it will be announced and we'll get that thing going. And it's just, I don't know, it's a little self-indulgent. It's a thing I've always wanted to do. People have expressed interest. So hot dang, look at us getting a poker deck. Coming soon. All right.
Now, Scott.
Yeah.
Yours wasn't on the subreddit.
No, it wasn't. Nobody voted
mine
for this.
Mine was.
Yeah, yours probably got voted on a bunch of
times. I didn't get a chance to tell people where to find mine.
Oh, man. You better do that then. Do it now.
Well, I'm just saying, Gavra will be upset if I don't mention the link that he submitted to subreddit.
Hold on.
It's not me. It's not me asking, Scott.
All right. Not the underworld god, Gavra. All praise Gavra. Sorry, but please be kind and see mercy upon your people.
So keep an eye on Kickstarter for Scott's card backs, which is awesome. I cannot wait for those. And if you're interested in a follow-up to Pilot X, inkshares.com/books/Trigor, T-R-I-G-O-R.
This, ladies and gentlemen, is how a professional podcaster reminds another so-called professional podcaster that he forgot to let the first one say his link. Tom,
is it? I don't know. I thought I was pretty ham-handed myself.
I think you were very deft at it. Very deftly handled.
Deaf, maybe.
we should thank everybody who helped submit stories this week. Who else contributed?
Well, Jeff Rose, Captain Kipper, Strike It Rich, Jeff Rose, and the aforementioned Gavra. Yeah, I said Jeff Rose twice because he got two links in there. They all submitted links, and we used them from currentgeek.reddit.com. Thanks to everybody who voted on those links. Keep them coming. We love to see what you're interested in talking about.
Jeff Rose, we love humiliated former baseball star Jeff Rose. He's been doing
that's Pete Rose. That's different.
Oh, different Rose. Yeah.
Jeff Rose never got caught gambling on baseball.
Sorry. Former tech TV star would go on to create dig.com.
Kevin Rose.
Oh, Kevin Rose.
Yeah. Jeff Rose still creates.
Okay. All right, then. Well,
I don't know why I threw Kevin under the bus there. Sorry, Kevin.
I don't know why either. It's just funny.
Kevin creates all kinds of things.
You have a great name. All right. We're going to take a quick break to tell you about our Patreon. Listen, the show is has been around for a while in different iterations, mind you. We've had it a long time ago as a whole different concept, a whole different kind of thing that it eventually became. And then one time there was like these little bitty segments that we kind of broke it up into because we were having a hard time getting our times together. And then in 2014, it was reborn like the phoenix from the ashes to what you see it as today. A fantastic conflagration of heady topics all aiming in a nerd direction. Well, how do we keep that up and why? Well, partly because we love it, but also because you guys support us in doing it over at patreon.com/currentgeek. That's patreon.com/currentgeek. If you head over there and take a look, you will find ways to support us. And for those saying, oh man, I'm tapped out, can't do it, that's okay too. Keep listening and tell your friends. That's the way you can help us out, is just tell your buddy, hey, you know what? I got this cool show that does like news and movies and TV stuff and all kinds of rad stuff. So thank you for those who are of you who are supporting us right now. Again, that address is patreon.com/currentgeek. It is time.
I like to think that Current Geek is all things.
Really? All things?
You know,
everything?
People will say, I think I like Current Geek when it's this. Why can't it be this? It's like, because it is so many things. Current Geek used to be 15 minutes long. Current Geek used to be all about interviews. Current Geek used to be not about interviews. Current Geek was never autopilot, but now it is sometimes. Current Geek is also sometimes forecast. Current Geek may be your parents.
Oh my gosh.
Look behind you.
I wish I had a cool theme for all of this, and I don't have one. You know, the closest thing I have is this.
That's a good question.
Just that guy saying that.
It really is.
That's all I've got. All right.
Really good question.
Well done. Let's dive into this, shall we?
The future promises even more startling things to come.
It's a forecast. By the way, no quiz this week, mainly because I forgot to make one. Well done, Scott. Well done. But also,
Geek is sometimes a quiz. Sometimes it's not.
Sometimes there's no quiz at all. But don't worry, that'll be back. We love our quiz and we'll never stop doing it. So that'll be a thing soon. But instead, we're going to do forecast. It used to be a show. Now it's a segment. Tom alluded to that earlier. And today, I made a prediction based on stuff ripped from today's headlines. Potentially, anyway. So we were talking about data earlier and this quote-unquote, I'm not going to call it a breach, but people call it a breach.
When we say we were talking about data earlier, we're talking about Facebook data, not when we were talking about data escorting bones onto the Enterprise D.
Oh, that's right. Wait, hold on. Yeah, there was data doing that.
Yeah, yeah.
Why wasn't it?
Because they wanted to make a Vulcan joke.
That's right. Because he reminded me of him.
You remind me of somebody I used to work with.
That's a really good old DeForest Kelly voice.
That's not.
Does that mean that everybody but Shatner ended up in a Next Generation television guest starring
Shatner
space?
Shatner was like, only movies for me.
Thank you. He did Generations and that was it, where the crossover happened. Okay.
Well, I'm a star.
He'd have done it now. Like now.
When you say everyone, though, did Nichelle Nichols?
Oh, maybe not. Neither did Chekhov. But yeah. Scotty did. Scotty, Bones.
And Spock.
Spock, of course. And then.
Janice Rand.
Yeah, and you can't count Majel Barrett because she was just always.
Barrett did show up, but not as.
Right.
Number one.
No, she's voice of the computer, and then what's her name's mom?
She was voice of the computer in both, so I guess that counts.
That's true. And then in season two's Dr. Crusher.
Beverly Crusher's replacement. Oh, crap. Why can't I remember her name? Anyway, yeah, she was another character in the original series.
Frida Von Stippenmall.
Yes, right. Her.
Yes.
Very Australian.
She came in there and did it all. Anyway.
Pulaski.
Thank you. Dr. Pulaski. Jeez. All right. Here's the thing. Here's the deal. I'm going to predict that websites, as a result of all of this, they're going to have to start showing us any given second where our data is, how protected it is, et cetera, et cetera. And this will be a voluntary effort. Some places already do this. And in fact, in some ways, Facebook and Google do this now with a program they've had for a while where you can download all your history. I was reading somebody's Twitter thread yesterday who had gone through all this to kind of show how it works. And his Google download was 5.5 gigabytes, which was surprising. It's pretty big. And it's anything that they have. It's all your cookie data, anything that was ever collected with your permission, emails, all this stuff all combined. And this giant wad of data, 5.5 gigabyte for him. That'll vary, obviously, depending on who you are. And then the one from Facebook was 600 and something megabytes, not nearly as big, but again, included all this stuff. And these are things you can do right now. I can go to either of those two companies and get a downloaded thing of all my data, and boom, there it is. I don't think that's going to be enough moving forward. Again, not because anybody had any wrongdoing here, but because there seems to be this awakening to oh, my data's out there. I didn't realize just how much, or it's become too convenient just to say accept and move on, or whatever your excuses are for not knowing what you're putting out there. People are going to start thinking about that more and start demanding these kinds of ideas. So to get back to my point, a service like, I don't know, trying to think of somebody who's, let's say Tumblr, okay, owned by Yahoo. Tumblr will have a link that you'll click that will show part of your account page that'll say, we have this much data on you in terms of size. Click here for more so you can look at it in a detailed way, give you some visualization about where your data is, what it's doing, how it's being used, letting you use sliders, buttons, turn-ons, and offs to sort of decide where and what it should be used for. Instead of the catch-all EULA that you sign and then never think about again, it will be a living, breathing document, like a constitution, where you can make amendments to what you want to change about your information with that particular holder of your information. Yes. And I think that's going to happen soon.
The Sixth Amendment defends my right to my email address. Right. Okay. I would like to introduce you to something boring and something cool.
Cool. Give me boring first.
Boring first. The General Data Protection Regulation of the European Union will go into force May 25th, 2018. Are you asleep yet?
Nope.
It's called GDPR. GDPR going into effect May 25th. Did a whole episode on it Tuesday last with Patrick Beja on what it means. Yes, it only applies to citizens of the EU, but any company that deals with citizens in the EU has to respect it. Doesn't matter where they are. And it's going to be cheaper for most companies to accommodate it for everyone rather than go, okay, well, figure out if you're in the EU or not, and then we'll accommodate it. So the protections of the GDPR are in most cases going to be extended to all users. And it basically says you can't collect someone's data without getting their permission and telling them what you're going to do with it. Mm. And you have to make it as easy to remove consent to use that data as it is to give consent to that data. And one of the biggest parts about it, there's tons, I'm way oversimplifying it, but one of the biggest parts about it is the explanation of what you're going to do with their data has to be in natural language. You can't come up with a big EULA of legalese that people can't understand.
Okay. Anything of that nature being, fronted here? Like, are we any closer to that as the United States?
No. But again, I go back to what I said earlier, because you have to make it for anybody who's an EU citizen, and it's cheaper to just make it for everybody than to try to figure out who's an EU citizen. You're probably going to get the benefit of it anyway.
Okay. All of that being said, I don't think it was that boring. I think that was all just fine. I don't feel any more tired than I was when we got here.
That's good. That's to your credit. Now wake up the rest of the audience. GDPR, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. I would go to that DTNS episode from last Tuesday, Tuesday, March 20th, if you really want to find out more. I also did a video for Tech Republic about like the five things it means for companies. But it is already having effects on companies, and Google's even tweaked their privacy dashboard that you were talking about to adapt it. It was pretty close to compliance, but they brought it in full compliance. I got something better. I think this is more exciting. This is probably the one that's going to actually put you to sleep, though, okay. Since I think it's exciting.
All right.
Tim Berners-Lee, you remember him?
Yeah, founder of the World Wide Web. A great guy. I like that guy.
That guy. Yeah. Yes, that guy. So you have heard of him. He is taking part in a project at MIT called SOLID. Now, this isn't the SOLID that is mentioned on Firefly by Neshka. Totally different.
Shoot. Okay.
Yeah. You and I are solid. No, this is a containerized data plan. So the idea would be to create a modular data container for you that you would have control of, and you would decide who gets to access it and who doesn't. And you could rescind access at any time. So it does a lot of things. You know, it makes it easy to share data because you've already entered it, right? It's all there. You don't have to fill in a new form or have a form filler or anything. It's just like point to my solid, give you access, boom, you've got it. You can decide only give them my name, birth date, and email address. That's it. You can give them more if you want. And you would have control over it. You have to get everybody, it's one of those chicken and egg things where you have to get everybody on board to make it work. And to make it work, you have to get everybody on board. But it's the idea, they're not the only ones pursuing a similar idea, but this is an open platform idea that's, you know, attempting to be solid cryptographically, so it'd be hard to break into, and that the only way you could abuse it would be to break the law. To break laws like the GDPR, for instance.
Well, if only Tim Berners-Lee had some experience with pushing out standards that we would all embrace and move forward with. That'd be amazing. No, that's awesome. Actually, that sounds really exciting. I need to learn more about that because I hadn't heard. What would
solid.mit.edu.
Okay, I'm going to go read up on that a little bit later. Now, here's the thing that I think may happen as a little side effect then of what you said earlier, the boring thing from earlier. And that is that maybe if Google's going to do it for one major region of the world, maybe they just could do it for everybody. Like that, like it may be more work and cost to maintain multiple
tiers. Wait a minute. Are you talking about the GDPR again?
I don't know. Am I? The stuff you,
That's what I was explaining about the GDPR exactly, is that Google is making their changes for everybody because it's cheaper.
Oh, I thought you were saying they, okay. I misunderstood that part. Well, that's good then. So no prediction there. That sounds like that's happening. So I hope that happens across the board, that whoever is forced to do this in Europe, thanks Europe for taking the bullet on this one. The rest of us will just benefit from it because it's easier for them just to do it and not incur the cost of having to have different tiers. So let's do that. That sounds great. Well, I'm all excited.
I don't think this makes your prediction less of a prediction. Mm-hmm. It certainly makes it more likely that there's these trends this way. We have a long way to go before websites all have to show you where your data is and how protected it is. And I guess what I'm saying with Solid is I'd go even further and say, let's imagine a world where the websites don't actually control your data. You do. And you give them access and rescind access as necessary.
I do like that idea. Bring me a solid, what was the term people were using a couple years ago? Your own personal data locker. That was a popular thing to say. It's not the same, but maybe we'll finally find a use for that dumb word. Your data locker.
Oh, the kids out there with their personal data lockers and their graffiti and their
some bullies,
music.
Bullies locked me in a data locker once. It was rough. All right. Well, let us know what you guys think about our prediction. If you have some of your own, we're certainly taking them here at the show at currentgeek@gmail.com. We'd be happy to read about them. We got an email from Mike who wrote in and says, "Hi, your recent discussion about the film Psycho made me think of The Hitcher from 1986. It's funny he brought this up because I've been thinking about The Hitcher because there's some direct-to-video Hitcher sequel that starred Jake Busey, son of, what's his name, Busey? Can't think of his first name all of a sudden.
Gary
Busey, thank you. And I'm a fan of cheesy direct-to-video sequels of things because they're so bad. So I've been thinking about it anyway, and he brought this up. Specifically, the suspense and horror conveyed largely without showing the violence, only hinting at it briefly or showing it briefly in the aftermath. Given the huge popularity of slasher flicks in the 80s, I remember this really stuck out to me and still scared me more than any other horror movies I'd seen. This movie might not deserve the entire segment of attention, but it's the first one that comes to mind when people start talking about or comparing scary movies that scare the crap out of you with what they don't show you. Keep up the good work, Mike." I agree 100%. The things that really stuck with me as a kid or even today that really get me are off scene. Like you don't see in Reservoir Dogs, you don't see him cutting the cop's ear off. You just know it's happening and you hear that music and the camera pans over here and you never see it. But it doesn't matter. It's worse. I would rather see it because I'm left with this horrifying visual in my head that I had to build myself.
Mm-hmm.
And it really
there's
preys
something
on your
about seeing a thing that makes it less threatening.
Yeah.
I don't know if it ties into like the evolutionary part of our brain where imagining the danger made you more careful. Whereas once you could see it, you could avoid it. Right. So you relax like, okay, it's there. I know how to avoid it now.
Right.
Whereas if you didn't know where it was, you needed to be more careful to survive. I feel like there's some connection there of like when we see it, we're like, okay, that's the danger. That's the upsetting thing. I know what to do now. Whereas if you don't see it, you're like, ah, there's just a generalized anxiety around it. It's absolutely true. The Shining.
Yeah.
Same way.
Yeah.
The danger never materializes, right?
Right.
Like it eventually does, I guess. But you know, like the whole movie is basically just you waiting for that horrible thing to happen.
Mm-hmm. And even then,
which is
they,
worse.
Even then, they pull it away and do a different thing. Like the guy,
yeah, yeah.
You're sure that the groundskeeper guy plays a much bigger role. And literally, the dude shows up to the place and gets an axe to the gut the minute he walks in the door. Like your expectations are shattered. And as far as movies that show everything, like if you're I like a schlocky movie with crappy practical effects and fake blood and a head getting lopped off. There's fun to be had there. But none of that really scares me. Like none of the Friday the 13th movies scared me. None of the Freddy movies ever scared me. Although the first one had some moments, but those moments again were more like what he's talking about here. This yeah. menacing thing I can't predict. And even when it pays off, I'm not sure what I saw. And I made up in my head what I think I saw. And movies like that sometimes get rated R. There are some rated R movies that I think are given that wrongly. Should have been PG-13 if you're just counting the content. But they were so good at building the what probably happened in people's heads that they got an R rating anyway. So
the power of suggestion.
It happens. And I'm gonna give people one now. Suggest that they send us emails just like Mike did. Ooh. CurrentGeek@gmail.com. Sorry,
you reminds me of my graduation party. Mm-hmm. Not mine. It was a graduation party in high school.
Yeah.
Everybody was watching, I think, one of the Friday the 13ths. And me and my friends got bored and went in the other room to watch the College World Series.
See? That's much scarier.
Yeah.
You want to see something really scary.
Oh, my.
Baseballs. Bah. Yeah. We will get to, I can promise you this, there's more on that list of movies other than Psycho that would classify as
Should we go ahead and say what we're gonna watch next week?
We should totally tease it. What is next week's
it's movie? Our first musical, Scott.
Oh my gosh, that's scarier than anything I've seen yet.
And it won't be the last. It's also our second color. Is that right?
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Yeah. This will be our second movie in color.
Weird.
Godfather was the first.
Mostly in color, you should say, this new one.
And it's only partly in color. Exactly. It's The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, my gosh. The Wizard of Oz. The original Wizard of Oz. Because. Here's the deal. Now, talking about movies that scared me as a kid, this one scared the living crap out of me when I was a kid.
Did it really? Oh, it's because of The Wicked Witch.
Yeah. But not just that. Just, I don't know. I don't want to be insensitive or anything because now I understand it differently. But at the time, seeing a big load of little people freaked me out. I didn't know what they were.
Really?
I didn't know they were people.
The munchkins?
Yeah.
Scared you. Huh.
They scared me because they weren't like, to me, they weren't children. They were like.
I like the munchkins.
They're great, but they didn't, but they freaked me out when I was a kid. The witch.
The flying monkeys freaked me out for sure.
Those are freaky.
I wasn't that scared of the witch. It was the flying monkeys. I was like, yeah.
Oh, and the part that
I also didn't like Planet of the Apes.
The part, oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what scared. Yeah, Planet of the Apes is pretty dark.
Uncanny Valley thing with the ape faces on the TV show.
Wait, not
they didn't move.
Right, they were bad on the show, on the TV show. The animated series is pretty good. I don't know if you ever saw that, but
nah, I don't think I ever did.
Kind of Star Trek animated looking and crappy. Anyway, but the Good Witch, was she of the West? Whatever she was, the
Wicked Witch of the West, the Good Witch of the East,
Linda. East Witch, the witches of East Witch. There's the scene where the house lands on her feet. Her feet are sticking out.
Yeah.
That scared the crap out of me when I was younger. I couldn't handle
it. Glinda's the good witch that survived.
Oh, okay. But whoever got crushed by the house. Well, this is why we're watching it. We got to catch up.
Glinda's the witch of the north.
Right.
Witch of the good witch of the east got crushed by the.
Was her name? Her name was.
Or wait, was that the wicked witch of the south? I don't know. We'll find out.
I don't know, but we're going to find out. We're going to see this classic, and we're going to remember all the stuff we don't remember. It's been too long, honestly, for me. It's been probably 15, 18-something years. It's been a long time.
I know that the current Geek Film Fest is a little odd for some people, but one of the things I love about it is taking our geeky sensibilities outside of the world of geekdom and then applying them. It's like applied science versus theoretical science.
Yeah, I like that too. And that's why we're doing it, mainly because we really like it. And a lot of you are really responding well to it. A few people are like, wait, what's this movie thing? But I promise if you listen, you'll get something out of it. I know we do, and I'm very much looking forward to it. The chat room reminds us that Wicked Witch of the East was crushed indeed.
Okay. And the Wicked Witch of the West was the Wicked Witch, and the Good Witch of the North was Glinda. Good Witch of the South, we don't know.
Yeah. Glinda was North. South was Linda. No, I don't know. Making all that up.
South was Pamely.
The old witch Pamely. She made some good pie, I can tell you that. All right.
Pecan pie.
After the show, normally we have a Legal Geek segment, not this week. We heard from Buckeye Fitzy, who is moving. House.
Happy moving.
Yeah, well, there's no such thing. But enjoy it the best you can. There's usually pizza and, I don't know, stay hydrated. Whatever you got to do. I hate moving. But hope it all goes well. He will be back next week in his brand new studio office, he put in quotes. Ooh. So we'll see what that means. Very excited for him.
Yeah, me too.
Anyway, so look for that next week. That's going to do it for us. Tom Merritt, before we get out of here, do you have anything to talk about? I know you talked about the book already, but there's got to be something. We should talk about the book again if you want. Whatever you want.
Yeah, no, just mention the book again. If you liked Pilot X, or even if you didn't, and you're like, I bet you can do better next time, here's my try. It is a sequel, although it's also standalone. So if you never read Pilot X, you could actually read Trigger, and you wouldn't be lost. It fills you in on all the details, and it's pretty fun. Romp through our universe. So check it out, Trigor. Just search for that on inkshares.com.
Nice. Real quick note that aside from my playing card thing that'll be coming out soon, which I'm very excited about, the other big project on the network that I'm super stoked about is the ongoing, now in its, let's see, this Saturday will be its 10th session, 10 weeks of this so far, of There Will Be Dungeons at therewillbedungeons.com. It's a Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition rules weekly custom campaign set in a post-apocalyptic future, yet still using D&D 5th edition rules, being DM'd by Bo Schwartz. And I cannot tell you how cool last Saturday was. I know a lot of D&D players are gonna know what I'm saying when I say this, but sometimes you'll hit a story crescendo that really, really gets you to the point of like, it's an emotional, impactful moment. And I had one of those last game, session 9. Thankfully, all of this up till the most recent is kept up on the site, and it's all 100% free. If you want to get the podcast, the video version, whatever you want, it's all there at therewillbedungeons.com. And if you can, come join us live on Saturdays. We do it at 3:00 Mountain Time for about 3 hours a week. And it's some of the most fun I've had, and I can't tell you how long. So come check it out. There will be dungeons at therewillbedungeons.com. All right. Well, I guess that's everything. Thanks, everybody, for being here. As always, don't forget to check out our website. It's got links to everything we've talked about and more. It's at currentgeek.com. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Tom, and for you. We'll see you next time. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com. We've done it!
Fireman Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Nice!